You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start today by sharing a little something that's been going around. It's not the flu. It was something that I wrote back in February. It was something going around on Facebook. There was something going around that everybody was doing. It wasn't drugs. Thankfully, it was something, just a writing thing, a sharing thing about people. It was called 25 Things About Me. And then people would write it, and they would share it with their friends, and then they would send it on, and somebody else would write 25 things about them. Anyway, I want to share with you today my number 23. I don't consider myself rich according to the world's standards that I hear and see about, but then consider this, and here was something that I had read recently on the internet. If the world were a village of 1,000 people, only 70 people of that 1,000 own an automobile. And some of the 70 own more than one automobile. In my life till now, I've owned 6 different vehicles, and I've traveled I don't know how many thousands of miles, and I've even flown to countries thousands of miles away. I didn't say this to brag, but I continued, in this light, I should be and am content. What's more, because of the responsibilities of having more, I sometimes wish I had less. Sometimes we hear about so-and-so who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, or so-and-so who spills more cash in one day than we make all year. We think of them as the rich, but we don't include ourselves in that category. But look how easy it is to be sobered by a simple fact about car ownership. Then being rich begins to depend upon your point of view. Lifestyles of the rich and famous, live in a castle with 25 maids hand and foot. Not me, probably not you. But how many of you, like me, own a car or two? That puts us in the top 7% of worldly wealth. Like it or not, according to that standard, you and I are rich. Well, so what? So we're rich. Not as rich as some, but richer than most. So what? Well, let me again quote Jesus' words today from the gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And again, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. How hard, Jesus says with authority, because he as God knows. And he says with care, calling his disciples children, he's warning his own family, and he should know because he's one with the Father. Now, I'm quite sure that Jesus doesn't mean that God makes it hard for those people who have riches to enter the kingdom, but rather that we, sinners, born in sin and stuck in sin, born with a rebellious will from the beginning, when we find ourselves with riches, we make it very hard for ourselves to enter God's kingdom, to remain devoted to God, trusting in his care for us. Hard to devote our lives to the right worship and study of God and good works, works of mercy and caring for others who have need. There's a misnomer in our world that, and even in Jesus' day, that those who had wealth had a better chance of getting into heaven because they had more means to do good. However, if you watch the news, then you probably know that it remains a steady fact that the very poorest people in the U.S. give a greater percentage of their income to charity. Some studies show that the poorest fifth in our population give twice as much as those who have the highest amount of wealth, the highest fifth, twice as much. Knowing this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 is proved true. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. The truth that Jesus is pointing out today in the text is that riches can hinder our heavenly goal. They can get in the way. Why is that? Well, for one, riches mean responsibility. That's a polite way of saying that riches are a time suck. When we have wealth, we must do things to upkeep and to serve our riches so that they don't spoil and go to waste. A dirty-looking collector's vehicle like a Jaguar is an abomination. It must be cleaned. But when? Life is busy. I must go to work and make a living and make money to keep the car clean and perhaps to buy another car. But I don't have to go to church because it really doesn't help the Jaguar look any better. Maybe we don't have a Jaguar in the garage. So here's something more universal to us Knoxvillians. How can I enjoy the house and television that we paid big bucks for when reading God's word and volunteering even two nights a week gets in the way? Perhaps here are just two examples of why Jesus says it's hard for those who have wealth. And how hard is it? Is it a little bit harder than those who have wealth, that are poor? Or is it a lot harder than those who are poor? Well, listen to Jesus' words, his answer here. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I think I'd have a hard time getting a camel through my front door, much less the eye of a needle. I think I'd have a hard time getting a camel cigarette through an eye of a needle, much less a camel through the eye of a needle. That won't fit. Something has to be scaled off and miniaturized in a mighty big way to make the physics work, whether a real camel or a simple smoke. Now, if it's that hard for those who have riches to enter God's kingdom, then the bad news today is that I'm one of the 7% who have a car. How about you? Maybe then we are all like the rich man in last week's text who, after hearing these words, will go away saddened. No one likes impossible things. No one wants to live the hard life. Be honest, we all want the easy life. We all want heaven even to come easy. Would you give up your car for heaven's sake? The disciples in the text seem to share our despair today. You ever thought about how rich the disciples might have been? Peter, we know, had a nice-sized home in Capernaum. Matthew was a tax collector. They had money. Some of the women in Jesus' ministry, they supported the mission from their own means, it says in the text. They must have had access to some wealth. After hearing Jesus saying about how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom, the text says they were astonished and asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" Only if they thought of themselves as rich would they have asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" The disciples and we are in the same boat. The answer, as we heard Jesus give, is that with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. No one can be saved merely by having riches, much less by trusting in those riches. No amount of wealth or good works that we have done would be enough to satisfy our God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Salvation for the poor and salvation for the rich. Heaven for the poor, heaven for the rich. Paradise for the poor, paradise for the rich. What's necessary is God's gifts, not human works, not wealth, but by grace, through faith, in God's salvation, freely given, freely won and bestowed because of Christ Jesus and his cross and his resurrection, which extends to all people, rich or poor. God shows no partiality. And all this he wraps up under faith. For now, we simply hold fast to this promise by faith. God will give us all things. We need not worry. We already have everything in Christ Jesus, and he will see it, and we will all see it in the end by sight. God for now has made everything depend on faith. Faith is what God counts as riches and righteousness. No amount of money could move a mountain, but faith and a mustard seed can. Well, having met Jesus and heeding his call to follow, Peter in our text responded to Jesus' teaching today, not with a question, but with a statement. Did you hear what he said? He said, "See, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus answered, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house," maybe a reference to Peter because he had a house, "or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many are first will be last, and the last first." See here the promise that God gives to us who give up all and go where he leads. We'll receive 100-fold in this time. That means before heaven. Now, we are certainly blessed here at First Lutheran to have many number of people, both from Knoxville and those who are not from Knoxville here, serving our church and also following Christ here in our pews. Pastor Busher and his family, they left Illinois and Michigan and Indiana to be a servant where God called him to the church to serve. Many of our teachers, including our two newest teachers, left family in Illinois to come and to serve where Christ led them to serve through the church. And here at First, I think they, as well as I would definitely say that we all have a great house together, that we all have brothers and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. For following Christ is not always easy, but is hard. But we do it all for the greater good, the greater goal of eternal life, which is assuredly ours even now because of him who loved us and called us to leave all behind and follow for Jesus' sake and the gospel. There are persecutions, but God has so richly blessed us 100-fold, each of you who are called to believe and to follow Christ here today, thick and thin, richer for poor, in sickness and in death. Here's a quote from a father of ours in the faith, Paul of Tarsus, St. Paul, who wrote, and I think this would have been one of his 25 things about me, from Philippians chapter 3. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." So, do you want to be rich? Then be poor of everything that you would think that would be worthy of heaven. And today, simply trust in the mercy of God. Trust the absolution. Trust the feeding for the forgiveness of our sins. Trust in the mercy of God. Then look upon the world with new eyes. Everything you have is a gift of God and can be lost for the gospel's sake. And best of all, everything will be gained in the end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.